tell you that first sentence, but then I'm lost. I can't begin to count the theories I've had pounded in my head that I forgot. I don't remember all that Spanish or the Gettysburg Address, but there is one speech from high school I'll never forget. Come on in, boy, sit on down and tell me about yourself. So you knock my daughter, do you now? Yeah, we think she's something else. She's her daddy's girl, her mama's world. She deserves respect, that's what she'll get. Ain't it, son? They all run along and have some fun. I'll see you when you get back, bet I'll be up all night, still cleaning this gun. Well, now that I'm a father, scared to death one day my daughter is gonna find that teenage boy I used to be. Seems to have just one thing on his mind. She's growing up so fast, it won't be long before I'll have to put the fear of God into some kid at the door. Yeah, come on in, boy, sit on down and tell me about yourself. So you like my daughter, do you now? Yeah, we she's something else. She's her daddy's girl, her mama's world. She deserves respect, that's what she'll get. Now ain't it, son? They all go out and have some fun. Now I'll see you when you get back. Probably be up all night, still cleaning this gun. Now it's all for show, ain't nobody gonna get hurt. Just a daddy thing, and hey, believe me, man, it works. Yeah, come on in, boy, sit on down and tell me about yourself. So you like my daughter, do you now? Yeah, we think she's something else. She's her daddy's girl, her mama's world. She deserves respect, that's what she'll get. Ain't it, son? Y'all run along and have a little fun. I'll see you when you get back. Probably be up all night, still cleaning this gun. Yeah, son, now y'all buckle up and have her back by 10. Let's say by 9:30. Drive safe.
No brag. Just fact.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh. Here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he sent lead and smoke, 17 inches of flame. For the big one had never cleared leather, beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be considered as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
I swear I can't remember to change that. It's been going on for months. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 23rd of July, and it's a Thursday. Today is our mostly gun-related edition of the Shooting Bench. There's, I think most everything we got to talk about tonight is gun-related. And some of it, unfortunately, is in the news. But nevertheless, there's some gun-related stuff. And as Minnie's posting on here, we've got another shooting. Yep, it's gun-related. In Lafayette, Louisiana. As you read that, that is not Lafayette, it is Lafayette. That is Kunas, that's not French, or not whatever it is in Colorado. But anyway, I spent a good bit of time in Lafayette back in my oil field days. Thanks, Mom. This was at the Grand Theater in Lafayette. Right now it looks like 8 injured and 3 dead, according to the story, including the gunman. Gunman was 58 years old. Looks like the movie was Trainwreck, 20 minutes into the show. And that's all. I'm getting this about the same time you are, so I don't know any more of it than you do there. It's pretty new. So we'll find out probably tomorrow. We'll have a little more information on this. But, you know, it couldn't happen at a more inopportune time. And it seems like a lot of these things do happen at a time when it is, makes you wonder how many of them are orchestrated. We'll save that for another time. But anyway, there's, you know, I told you the last couple of days we've talked a little bit about the Patriots out protecting the recruiting offices. And several times over the last, forever, ever since we've been doing the show, I guess, we've talked about carrying long guns, rifles and shotguns, chambered when there was not a need for it. We talked a couple of nights ago, or maybe last night, about all these idiots out there that's got to go get their picture on Facebook and running around out there in all their very cool tactical gear and their rifles out there at these recruiting offices. And a great many of them have done more damage than good. They have not helped us any. Did they have good intentions? Of course they did. Everybody says, oh, my brothers, oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right, I get it. But they need to exercise some common sense here a little bit. They're making things worse. So today, we have a gun-related topic for you. We had one of these Rambo wannabe mental midgets out there that had his AR-15 and pounded around into the sidewalk in front of the recruiter's office. We know who this guy is, and they know that he did this again 2 years ago. Did the same thing. He hasn't learned. He evidently needs to go and get some training somewhere, maybe Southwest Shooting Authority, and figure out how to handle that gun, how to operate it correctly. They say that somebody, it was an AR-15, and somebody said that he was had walked up to him and asked if they could see it. The correct answer is no, you can't. I'm on guard duty. I'm not here dinking around. You need to go, you know, get your business taken care of and go on. This is serious business here, and I'm busy. Oh, no, here, just let me hand me my AR. So they said he went to clear it and then hand it to him. When you clear one, you don't pull the trigger and shoot it into the concrete. Your asphalt. That's not how you do it. I mean, that's how he did it, but that's not how you're supposed to do it. Now, I've said this many times, and those of you that are regular listeners are going to get tired of listening to this, but there is never a case when it is okay to have a round chambered in a rifle. This isn't an NRA thing. It isn't a training Nazi type safety thing. It's common sense. They do this in Iraq, they did it in Afghanistan, they did it in every place. Now, in Vietnam, it was mixed because they were still learning some of this stuff. But in more recent history, it is never acceptable, even in a fire base somewhere, unless you're on guard duty, to have a round chambered in a rifle. It's common sense. It's just stupid to walk around out there unless you're in imminent danger or you're somewhere where you think that, that something's about to happen. How long does it take to chamber a round? Half a second. You can do it on your way to your shoulder. It really costs you nothing in most rifles. Certainly in my AR, I mean my AK, with the charging handle moved to the left side, it is instantaneous. I can get the round chambered before I can get the thing to my shoulder. I do it right on the way. It costs me nothing. It's a little bit more inconvenient with the AR. Takes about 29 hundredths of a second longer. And there's just no good reason to have a round chambered when you're doing something like that. How many things can go wrong with the round chambered? Let me count the ways. Well, for one, you can be stupid like this guy was and go to clear it and just shoot. Luckily, it was pointed in a safe direction. I think it's we're fortunate that he didn't send a round through a car or into the recruiting office or into the damn mall somewhere, and it would have even been worse for us. What's some other things that can go wrong? Well, I'll tell you a couple right off the top of my head here. What if you drop that gun? Now, there's always the people that say, oh, well, if you drop it, you shouldn't be handling a gun. It's just stupid. You know, if you have never dropped a gun, you're either a liar or you've never picked one up. Or you haven't handled them long enough to have experienced it yet. Things happen when you're training and shooting a lot and doing dynamic movements and stuff. That's the kind of thing happens sometimes. That's why they have drop safeties specifically on a lot of different guns. It is not completely out of the realm of possibility that you may drop it. If you drop it and it's chambered, if it hits just right, there's a pretty good chance that it may go off. Depending on the style and type of gun, how old it is, whether or not it's on safety. Now, being it on safety doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to go off when it hits the ground. Yeah. Yeah, like Edge of the Wood said, keep your booger hook off the loud button there. That will prevent that. But another thing that can happen is you can literally just set it down too hard. If you go to set it down in a corner, it's chambered, and even more so if it's off safety, depending on the gun. I mean, that's not true with all guns by any means. But you can go and set it down on a hard surface and set it down too hard, or again, slip out of your hands while in the process of setting it down and drop it 3 or 4 inches, and good chance it'll go off. And a case in point, my cousin up in New Mexico had a, and I've told you this story before, but it's timely right now to tell it again. He has a gorgeous, beautiful cherry wood gun case. Really, really nice gun cabinet in his living room. It matches the rest of the house. It's all log, huge, tall, vaulted ceilings. Really nice place. And he come in with a lever action 25-35. And for whatever reason, it was cocked. Now, lever action, I'm pretty comfortable with carrying a round chambered in a 30-30 or something like that, because I can let the hammer down, and it's just a matter of cocking the hammer. It's quiet. It's fast. Okay, I'm okay with that, with exposed hammers. With any of the semi-automatics, the pumps, some of your, like the old Savage 99 internal hammers on lever action. I'm not okay with that. Because there's just too many. Anyway, let me finish the story on the 2535. He come in, for whatever reason, it was cocked, and he went to set it in that cabinet, slipped out of his hand as he was setting it down. It dropped, you know, 5 or 6 inches. And when it hit, it was an old gun. When the butt hit the inside the floor of the cabinet there, the gun went off. And when, fortunately, there was nobody upstairs. It didn't shoot him in the face, but it did blow a substantial hole in the top of his very expensive cherry wood gun case. He never did fix that hole. If you go there today, that hole is still there. He said, that was the stupidest thing I ever did with a gun, and I want to leave that hole in there as a reminder to myself and my boys and everybody that that comes here. What not to do. So, you know, he was very, very humble and responsible and left that there as a reminder and doesn't mind telling everybody. I don't care how careful and how... and Peanut Rider says the Remington 600 and 700. You know, any gun can, any gun. But when you take something, especially if you've worked on the trigger a little bit, you take those Remington 700s and get that trigger down to, you know, a couple of pounds like I've got mine, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not safe to set those things down hard in the corner. Now, I do, when I do my triggers, I literally do bounce them off the floor. I want to be able to drop that gun 6 inches without it firing. And so I cock it and make sure it's empty after I do the trigger on it and get it where I want it and make damn sure that it does. Now, would it fire if I dropped it from 3 feet? Yeah, it probably would. But generally speaking, that's something that can't be avoided. But getting back to the reason why this... why this guy was carrying chambered, I don't have any idea. When you're... I can tell you exactly why it was. I looked at some pictures today of some of these guys that are out there playing Rambo. And you know the reason they're doing this, the reason they're having such support, because they're able to go out and act like they're playing Army, and they don't even have to go to the field to do it. They don't have to be cold, they don't have to be hot, they don't have to be muddy, they don't have to pack up all their stuff. And go out there, they get to go play Army in town where everybody can see them. And you get to go with that stupid looking grin we was talking about the other night and get your picture on Facebook. And that was the primary goal of some of these people. There is no question in my mind. They'll tell you whatever they'll tell you. But some of the things they did, we had guys, you know, sitting in lawn chairs and they're talking and looking around and stuff. You know what? They're there only for the publicity. Yes, Iowa Cat, there will be a Liberty Lounge tomorrow night unless I die between now and then. No. They're posers, Nan Cole. That's exactly what they are. I saw one guy today, and he's walking around with his little scarf rag-looking things they wear in Iraq. Tampico Scout, you know what they are. I'm sure you wore one over there. Anyway, whatever it is, they had one of those over his face and his drop leg holster and his vest and his camelback and AR slung. Oh, stop, would you? Just stop. He looked like a terrorist himself. You know, if I come charging out of the Toys R Us there and run into this guy out there with an AR, I'm gonna probably pull down on him and find out what's going on here. You know, the correct, proper, professional way to do this, there's absolutely no reason to go out there and make such a big deal out of this like you're Rambo. The correct and responsible way to do this would be to go out there with a handgun, have your long gun in your vehicle close by, and have your handgun, whether it's concealed or not, depends on the state, the laws, your attitude, and the attitude of the people around you. But either way, and dressed in civilian clothes, nicely. Some of these guys had sloppy t-shirts and flip-flops and shorts and everything, and out there, and they're just making a show. They make us all look like frickin' idiots is what they're doing. And it irks me till I cannot see straight. And that is one of the several major problems of these patriot groups and these militias out there, is a lot of them just cannot be taken seriously. They just can't. They have no idea. They've never had any training. They've never been out anywhere where they could, you know, learn anything, or somebody could teach them something. It just amazing that they're not embarrassed to death by even being out there. It's just amazing. There was something that was going along with this. I'm going to have to go gather it up here in just a second. I forgot what it was. But I think that Doc, it's, I don't know if I have ever asked you. I know Tampico Scout said when they were, and I don't know how it was. I know you were in quite a bit earlier than me or Scout, either one. And in South Africa, and this was, I'm guessing, maybe 70s, late 60s, I don't know for sure. But in South Africa, during the time that you were there during hostile times, I believe. Was it acceptable for you to run around camp and do everything, even though you were out there where somebody may be shooting at you, for you to have a chambered rifle? Or did you have a place right outside of camp or right at the edge of camp or for your fire bases or whatever where you chambered one before you went out and did your thing? So if Doc is still here, maybe he could get on the chat room there real quick and let me know. But I think that I know when I was in the 80s, that it was totally, absolutely unacceptable to have a round chambered at any time unless you were on the range. So Doc was there in the 80s. I'm sorry, Doc. You're not as old as you make yourself out to be then, maybe. But we'll see. Hopefully Doc will respond there in a minute. That's what I thought LB said. I thought he was there in the 30s. No, not really. I know he went that far back, but anyway. 1830s, okay. And that's what I thought, Doc. Chambered rifles on patrol, unchambered, loaded mags. And for any semi-automatic, any of them, civilian type, military copies, whatever, any of them, it doesn't take any of them more than 1 second to put around in the chamber. Now, if we go back to that risk versus reward thing, if you're out on patrol, I use this for everything. I use the risk versus reward for everything that I do. So if I'm out on patrol, I'm in the bush, and I'm on patrol for a reason, because I think there may be bad guys out there somewhere, people that don't think very highly of me being there, then it is the risk of carrying one chambered goes down some because there's less people out there. We have strict discipline as to how we march, how we move with the loaded weapons. And so the risk of not carrying it chambered becomes higher than the risk of having it chambered. When I'm in camp or on post or in hunting camp or in town or whatever, it is most unlikely that Haji is going to jump out of a phone booth out there somewhere and I'm not going to have time to shoot him because I didn't have a round chambered. So the risk then of carrying around chambered becomes more than the reward of having it ready to go at a moment's notice. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's not. It's pretty a common sense type deal there. And by the way, I was going to check and see in our chat room here. I know we've got some people streaming and stuff here that are not in the chat. But I was going to check and see if I could get this stupid thing to work here. Okay, well, I won't then. Have it your way. I was trying to look and see how many we know in the chat room, but never mind. It's not working. Okay, well, anyway, let's get off of that. For the matter of fact, it is break time right now, so we're going to play a gun-related break deal here, and I wasn't prepared for it, so let me grab that real quick, and I'll move it down here in place, and I just got to find it. There it is. All right, let me get this done, then we'll be back. We got some other gun-related stuff to talk about.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with,
and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday. Supper time, I answer to what I've done. Hoops today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back here. Let's see if we can get this wrapped up. There's a few other things here that is kind of interesting. One of them is the Catholic Church here has come out with a, you know, there's been a lot of things they've talked about and a few documents out there wanting tighter regulation of global arms trade. But what about here at home? Well, apparently they're saying that firearms in the hands of civilians should be strictly limited and eventually completely eliminated. So if you're Catholic, you might want to consider talking to whoever it is you need to talk to and see if you can talk some sense into them here. But big long story here about this, and it's I guess that it's an old story, but I didn't know that the church had a stand on it, that they actually come out and said this, and they did. But anyway, it's like I said, it's an old story. I just happened to stumble across it there and thought I'd share that with you for those of you that don't know. Now, in Alabama, Alabama's pretty traditional, pretty pro-gun state. They've got decent gun laws there in Alabama. Matter of fact, I wonder where old David Cowell is. He never comes out here no more since we changed networks here. I don't know what happened to him. Still see him on Facebook once in a while, but he's down in Alabama. And see, looks like we had some problems in the chat room there. Let's see. What's going on there? Anyway, in Alabama, and this really surprised me, the Alabama Department of Transportation has just announced that they are banning the possession and carrying of firearms at rest stops along the interstates and highways. Now, that puts us in a little bit of a quandary there. Completely ignoring the fact that both open carry and concealed carry are legal in the state, the rest stops now have a sign that says no weapons beyond this point. And, of course, a lot of them are asking whether they have the legal authority to do that. This may be struck down as fast as they brought it up. But we'll see. But the ADOT, or ALDOT, is citing an Alabama code section here that says, gives them the power to prescribe any reasonable rules and regulations, prevent unnecessary trespassing or injury to any of the public roads, bridges, or highways of the state. Any of them that they spend state money on. So, if any of you are headed to Alabama or from Alabama or have friends or relatives down there, you need to have them get active and start addressing this. Now, this brings us to mind once again, so many times, and that is, I saw where someone had posted earlier on Facebook there, you know, forget all the tyrannical laws and just carry all the time. Well, you know, that's I don't think that's a good idea. We go back to risk versus reward again. Your options are to, what started this was the shooting at the theater in Lafayette, Louisiana. And that is a, no, LB Sand, I don't think we need national permit acceptance. I think we need national constitutional carry is what we need in all 50 states. That would be the cat's meow, but that ain't going to happen. But I'm not going to risk going to jail or a felony or having my guns confiscated to go watch a movie. Yeah, Peanut Rider's got it right. Don't go there. I'm not going to disobey the tyrannical laws to go watch a movie. Because if something does happen, now what happened at this shooting in Chattanooga where the Marines were killed and the sailor? Okay, one of the lieutenant commander in the Navy guys there returned fire with a Glock 19. We're not hearing too much about that. I'm wondering what they're going to do with this. Now, of course, us on the pro-gun side, we say, well, nothing should be done. Because he's a hero, because he might have saved more people from getting killed, or, you know, or returned fire in a place where there's a no-gun zone that shouldn't have happened, and blah, blah, blah. But what does that say, then, for the disciplinary actions and everything of the Army? If you let them get by with that, don't get me wrong, I'm all for all of them being armed, providing that they have some training and know what they're doing, so they don't wind up like this other idiot out there. But What is this? Edge of the Woods has got somebody, I guess, wanting to go and pull guard duty there. Sidearms only. I mean, okay, that's exactly Edge of the Woods is putting out the same information that I would put out if our guys were going. But let's get back here and look at the risk versus reward here. I'm going to risk in some cases a felony to go and watch a movie. I have a choice. I don't have to do that. Now, if it's someplace I have to be with my family, and let's say that I'm going someplace down on Central Avenue in Albuquerque, and I have to be there, I have to be there with my family for whatever reason. Okay, I'm going armed. I would rather risk jail, because I know that if I'm in that part of that neck of the woods, that the risk of being attacked is higher than it is if I was going to the movies in Sholo. Or, somewhere else. So I would risk that because I feel that my family would be at risk if I didn't. Amy would probably carry two. I would ask that she, unless she knew damn well that she was in immediate danger, not to display that fact to back me up. I need her to be squared away, take kids or whatever, or herself, and don't worry about me. Don't make it worse by two of us or more getting injured or killed. I'm carrying mine. That's the reason I'm the man of the house. That's what I do. And if I get engaged in something there, I don't want you to come, or at least aim. Now, if I was with a Tampa Go Scout or Edge of the Woods or somebody else out there, then yeah, join in the fun. Let's make a party out of this. If I'm with my wife or my kids, I don't want your help. I want you to go away. You can help me by me not having to worry about where you're at and what you're doing and what's happening to you. Go away. Find cover. Get on the phone after you're safe. Get on the phone. Get me some help. I don't want you to help. I want you to be alive. I want you to be safe. And I'll take care of it from there. So back to obeying unconstitutional, but obeying these tyrannical laws. I'm not going to just carry about my normal life from day to day and disobey these laws and expect nothing to ever happen. Going back to the military discipline here, do you think that this, peanut rider, me too. I only wear boots. Once in a while I'll wear tennis shoes if I'm going running or something, but I usually run in boots when I run. So everybody's saying, well, should this guy get in trouble? How do you justify not disciplining him in some way and expect other people to obey your rules after that? It's the military. It's not a boys club. Well, it's okay this time because you did a good thing, but don't do it ever again. There's got to be some kind of the discipline has to stay intact in the military. I applaud the guy's idea. Sure, I don't blame him. But that's one of those things where he's risking his career and he's risking a felony, risking imprisonment for a long time to have that gun. Now, would it have been different if he popped up there and the guy didn't kill anybody and he wound up popping him with that 9mm and nobody got killed except the bad guy? What would have happened? Well, nothing changes. He's still committing felony. He's still breaking the law. He's still disobeying orders. How do you handle that? You say, okay, so if you don't do anything, then every damn recruiter in the country is going to start doing it, which is fine with me. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. But if you want discipline, then how does that work? You know what I mean? Doc, you're echoing there the same thing that I do. Boots are tools. Boots are weapons. Long pants only. No shorts. No kilts. No flip flops. No, just boots and long pants. Yeah. Z7, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. What you mean right there? There's an issue there. Tan versus multicam. You have zero urban gear. I don't know exactly what you mean there. The multicam, if you're trying to fit in an urban environment, the multicam is definitely not the way to go. Our urban uniform is OD green shirts and khaki pants. So we still have a type of uniform, but can fit right in without anybody thinking much about it. We don't allow anything sewed on those shirts. It's either magnetic or a pin-on, so that in the event that you need to get sterile all of a sudden, you can just pop all that stuff off, put it in a pocket, and nobody's the wiser. Doesn't look any different. So other than that, your urban uniform is, if you're there to fight, the multicam is fine. Multicam works good in an urban environment. Multicam works good everywhere. But if you're trying to hide out and you're not fighting, if you're going concealed, and then obviously you want a t-shirt and jeans, you know, that's to fit in with what everybody else around the area is wearing. Just yeah, that's a good idea, Doc. You could put that in your man purse. You could always put your parking meter costume in your man purse, and then when you need it, you just whoop it out and get out your parking meter costume and put it on. Just stand still and quietly on the edge of the sidewalk right there, and everybody just walk right by. And the good thing about it is, people probably come along there and try to put quarters in your ears or something when you dress like a parking meter. So that wouldn't be an altogether bad thing. But yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of parking meters even around anymore. I don't know if they still use those or not. But anyway, so let's spend this last few minutes here, since we're talking about what do they call them? What's the new catchphrase for assault rifles now? What the heck is it? Is it a multi-purpose rifle? Is that what it is? You know, it's funny, if that's what it is, and I don't remember, some of you on the chat room might be able to find that for me. But it seems like it was multi-purpose rifle that they've come out with here just recently. And if that's the case, then let it be known. Utility rifle, maybe that's what it is. Let the record show that if it had been multi-purpose rifle, that Cope Reynolds and Southwest Shooting Authority coined that term multi-purpose rifle for fighting rifles, everyday rifles, back in about 2005, 2004 probably. 2004, 2005. All of our rifle classes, with the exception of hunting rifle, is multi-purpose rifle. We have multi-purpose 1, 2, and 3. We haven't done 3 for quite a while. And then there's also a applied dynamic responses class for rifles. And so anyway. So there's a lot of different ways that people go to cite those in. Sport utility rifle, that may be it, Risen. That's a good term, maybe, if that's what it is. I don't remember. People cite these in for various. People are way too, and it's the same kind of guys that pounded this round into the asphalt today. The same type of guys that go out there pulling guard duty at the mall with their shemagh and their vest and all this crap on. Those are the kind of people want to sight their AR in for 600 yards. And, you know, or 1,000 or whatever the case may be. And in the first place, there ain't a damn one of them that can tell you within 100 yards of what 600 yards even is. Probably within 200 yards of what it even is. So, and what do you think exactly that 55 or 62 grain pill is going to do when it gets there that far away? Sure, it'll penetrate. Sure, it'll kill. But sure, it's also easily defeated by not a whole lot of gear and stuff when that thing gets out there that far. So what are you sighted in for? Look again at risk versus reward. I think that it is many, many, many times more likely that I'm going to use that weapon inside of 300 yards than I am outside. And I think that it is extremely, exceedingly unlikely that I'm even going to consider thinking about using it past maybe 400. Now, can I hit something and will it be... could I do it out there at 500, 600, 700 yards? With the AR? Probably so. With the AK, it would be the luck of the draw. The SKS, it would be sheer luck. But if inside of 300 yards, then what are you going to zero it for? Well, for me, and I've said this before, for anything that shoots over around probably 2,700-2,800 feet a second, I zero all of those things at 200 yards dead on. Now with the AR, 30-06, 308, 270, 7mm, 300, you know, whatever. That is a really good, if everybody would adopt, everybody in your unit, would in your group, your family, would adopt that zero, then you can pick up any of them and say, okay, without changing anything, I know where I'm at. Now, mountain shooter, I would not go to 300 yards with a 308. Of course, that's me. If it works for you, I'm not telling you to change it by any remote stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying why it doesn't work for me. Because if you're trying to make precision shots at 75 or 100 yards, 125, 150 yards, with a 300-yard zero, there's some guesswork in there unless you've got, mil dot reticle and know how to use it and can, without making. Now, this is barring making any adjustments on there. And mountain shooter, if you know your scope and everything, certainly that's okay. But I'm just saying with everybody in the family or in a group or a unit, then you should be able to pick up anybody's gun, anybody's scoped rifle that is relatively fast. I say that because once you get under 2600, 26 and below, your zero changes. I mean, your drop changes so dramatically that then your zero should be, in my opinion, 150 yards. My 30-30 is zero to 150 yards. My bolt action 7.62 by 39, zero to 150 yards. So that I have that same margin of error, that same, it's like the, what did they call it? The, what is it, maximum point blank range, I think is what they call it, with a hunting rifle, when you want it to hit in that 8-inch kill zone. Now, that's assuming that you're hunting something with an 8-inch kill zone. Something as big as an elk or a moose, you might expand that a little bit. Something as small as a coyote, you need to go way down and go down to a, you know, 4 or 5 inch kill zone. So what you want to do is be able to shoot and keep that without holding over or under or changing anything. You want to know what that maximum point blank range is. When my relatively faster velocity guns, 27-2800 or more, now this is also going to change once you get out over 3200, but you know, there's not, all of us don't have too many guns out there that shoot over there. There's quite a few, but I don't have any, so I'm not worried about it. But if I zero it at 200 yards, I know that I'm only, with most of these calibers, I'm only an inch and a quarter, inch and a half, inch and three quarters high at 100. And I'm only about 3.5 inches low at 300. So if I put it right on the bridge of your nose at 300 yards, you have no possibility of surviving that. Now, once you get out to 400, now we're looking, depending on caliber, we're looking at 20, 22, 24 inches difference. It changes that much with a 200-yard zero. At 500 yards, we're looking at, again, depending on caliber, we're looking at 44, 48 inches. So, the there becomes, without a mil dot reticle and range finders and stuff, it becomes quite a bit of guesswork once you get out past 350 or so. But so that's my reasoning for why I like the 200-yard zero for the faster velocities. And that's also the same reason I like the 150-yard zero for the more slower velocities. It gives me the same thing, except then my maximum point-blank range then becomes 250 yards instead of 300. So there's my reasoning for doing that. And you should think of trying to, if you have people that you hang out with, you know, if you're friends, you're, like I said, you're in a group, you're in a militia unit, you're family, these are things that I think you should consider. If you live alone and you don't hang out with anybody and you don't have any, then don't worry about it. But and with the upcoming times, I would say start trying to find some friends. Start trying to find somebody that you can trust and have somebody to hang out with. And when you do this, talk to them about it. See if you can all come up with some kind of a compromise. Mountain Shooter likes his zeroed at 300. I like mine zeroed at 2. So we would need, me and him would need to sit down and say, all right, let's figure out what would be best for both of us. Is 300 better? Is 200 better? Or can we compromise on 250? Whatever. But if he goes down, I want to be able to pick up that gun and be effective with it without having to guess where in the hell it's at, and vice versa. So think about that with all your family members and all your, so that you have some idea of where everybody's gun is shooting. Talk to all your friends. If you we've got a pretty sizable bunch of associates and friends up in Washington. You know, I would say that all of you should figure this out. Don't do this just for you, because things are about to get very Western, guys. And in the interest of the welfare and safety of everybody in your circle of friends there, hopefully everybody's going to be trying to get together when this happens. So it would be in everybody's best interest if you sat down there with some charts and drawings and stuff and figure out what's going to be the best for all of you, so that you can, like I said, if somebody goes down or somebody has an extra weapon or whatever, there may be something, you may have a particular a particular long-range sniper rifle that may be an exception to that. That your zero may be for one particular shooter, or if anybody else might shoot it, then you need to train everybody on what that zero is. But otherwise, for any of your scoped rifles that are not a specialty rifle, I would highly recommend that family and friends get together and see if you can come up with a happy medium there, so that everybody's kind of on the same sheet of music. So, all right. Well, tomorrow night, Liberty Lounge. Remember that we are trying desperately to get our Arms Expo up here in Sholo, the 16th, 17th, and 18th of October. And I'm hoping that I'll have some word within the next few days if we're going to get the building that I hope for. If we do, it will be awesome. We'll be in an 8,000 square foot building. Everything will be held inside. That'll make it easier on security, make it easier on the weather and the wind and the dust and everything else. So I'm hoping that that's going to happen. So, Yakima Glock, I don't know. We'll see about that. We have, tell you what let's do. Let's right now, before I go off the air, we have 22 people in the chat room right now. Let's have a poll here. Right now, and Mountain Shooter, I can already tell you it's not going to be metal. I can tell you right now it is not going to be metal. I may go for some classic rock. If I go metal, somebody's going to die before night's over. It'll probably be me. But let me find a sheet of paper here. This one will work. And let's see if we can get a vote here. Yakima Glock is rock. And we know Eddie's rock. Let's see. Eddie, metal doesn't count. That's not going to be happening ever. 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 So, Doc saying rock. We got some doo-wop there. That'd be kind of an interesting show. We got doo-wop one. Disco. Oh boy, that's going to be a tough one. Got one for disco there. Doc, we already got your vote there. Let's see. The Tinker wants to do rock. Newer country or mid 70s, 80s rock. I could do, okay, that's a neutral vote there, because that's about the only two that I would do anyway. So that's okay. Goat Mogs for rock. Where'd all these rock guys come from? Rights at Risk? You traitor? Unbelievable. Yeah, Doc, you already said rock. 30s and 40s what? Scout? Rock or country? Old scratchy country. So we have right now three for country. Classic rock. There's another one. Iowa Cats with me. See, oh yeah, my vote counts, and Iowa Cat counts, so that's five for country. And so far, yeah, rock is winning right now. Nan, blues, whew, that's a kind of a tough one too. But Nan would go for rock if we must. Nineteenth century classical, are you kidding me? Yeah, I guess you are kidding. It says you're kidding. All right, we're starting to wind down here now. Rock, Mountain Shooter, you've already made your vote there. Tampico Scout, that was country. Okay, we've got you down for country. I figured that's what it was. Country with a little bit of rock. Okay, many men pins up there. Put her with Iowa Cat. Ziva says, I love Ziva. She at 15 years old. She is my type of country music lover right there. She is awesome. So that's another country there. Real old country, not the new. Okay, that's, you've already voted though. I understand what you're saying though. Let's see. Rockabilly Mountain Shooter, that's your third vote so far. Ziva's not logged in, so she doesn't count. Oh yeah, we're gonna count my sweetheart there. You betcha. Yeah, oh, she's not old enough to vote. That's what it is. She's got to be 18 to vote. Okay, let's see what we got. We have 7 country, 1 disco, 1 doo-wop, and 5, 6, 7, and 9 rock. 9, we have rock on a very slim margin there. So, now it's not going to be metal. All right. Oh, Gretel likes country. We still would have to have one more vote even to tie. All right, votes are in. We're going to do classic rock tomorrow night. We may, you know, every time we do rock, we say classic. Well, it ain't going to be too new, and it's sure not going to be metal. I promise that. But anyway, all right, there you go. And the following week, we'll do hardcore old country. Ziva does have a gun, as a matter of fact. You know, and she's, and we may throw in a little country too, right? Maybe we'll do that. All right, I'm blabbering here. Let's see, was there anything else I wanted to throw in here? Let me check here. There's one more thing I forgot to look at. Let me go look at it before I leave, because I thought there was something relatively... in all right, Iowa Cat, maybe we'll do that. I tell you what we might do, since we're so close. We have in B2 basic there is also country, so we're actually virtually at a tie. So maybe what we'll do is half the night country and half the night rock. How about that? I don't like to mix it too much, but maybe we could mix it by doing half and half. We'll see. We'll get all this in. Let me, I gotta find my other website here. There was something else I needed to check. Here it is. Yeah, this is something that I was gonna share with you. Wait a minute, cancel that. Yeah. Hang on just a second. Cancel that. Okay, we're getting closer. And cancel that. Here we go. All right. Our governor that I did not vote for, but he's turning out maybe to be not quite as bad as I thought. He has signed an order yesterday to arm National Guard personnel here in Arizona. He, and specifically because of the shooting at the recruiting centers in Tennessee last week. So he's issued an executive order to arm National Guard personnel in Arizona. He said what happened in Chattanooga was shocking and saddening, and it took the lives of 5 American servicemen. With the number of tragic shootings that have occurred on military installations in recent years, it's imperative that our soldiers and airmen, people who put their lives on the line every day to protect our state and nation, have at least the same level of self-confidence as the citizens they're fighting for. Well, imagine that. That makes perfect sense. So anyway, there's some stipulations here about training and all of that stuff. But here is, where is this identify an arm? Institute of Policy of Training. Okay. All right, here we go. Listen up. Pay attention here. Identify and arm all the appropriately trained National Guard personnel who he determined. He's talking about Major General Michael McGuire, who is the chief cook and bottle washer here of the National Guard in Arizona. Identify and arm all appropriately detained National Guard personnel who he determines reasonably necessary based on their duty positions, responsibilities, or locations to protect themselves and other persons from the threat of deadly physical force. Institute a policy and training requirements that require that permit guardsmen, listen to this, stop what you're doing and pay attention. Institute a policy and training requirements that permit guardsmen to carry personally owned handguns while on duty at a secured facility or military installation in lieu of a government-issued handgun as specified by the Adjutant General. This policy should allow guard personnel to carry these handguns on unsecured facilities while on duty if a government-issued handgun is not reasonably accessible. Consult with the Director of Arizona Department of Public Safety to review the security measures and protocols in place at Arizona National Guard facilities, including without limitation recruiting offices, and make any recommendations necessary to further protect soldiers, airmen, and public and the public against attacks on military personnel. And I think that is pretty cut and pick and outstanding right there. I think that was pretty good. So that gives those of you that are considering moving to Arizona just that much more ammo as to why you should be here. There's a lot of freedom here in Arizona. I mean, you can go out there and just feel it, smell it in the air from time to time. You step outside and take a deep breath, and there's that unmistakable aroma of freedom. And I love it here in Arizona. So, all that being said, I'm off like a dirty shirt, and we'll see you for Liberty Lounge tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. A lot of fun.
A gun will travel, reach the car of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. To join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin.